B-Pod Studios.
Let's bring in the man who covers baseball like nobody else in America for The Athletic. He's brought to us by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliable fast speeds during peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. Mr. Jason Stark joins us. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Mike.
Well, this is definitely a Bryce Harper conversation here because I know you've got all kinds of information and facts and figures and things like that. The bottom line is he's really struggling. He's missing, looks like, higher velocity fastballs that a good hitter would usually hit. He struck out on a ball in the dirt last night where he didn't look like he tracked it at all. And he didn't put a ball in play last night, actually. So what do you see and what are people saying?
Oh, well, there have been a lot of games where he hasn't put a ball in play. Last 21 games, he's 10 for 70, right? So that's 143. But here's what really jumps out at me. 30 strikeouts, 10 hits in that time. And, this has been going on for quite a while. Take away the first week of the season, right? The first week of the season plus the five-hit game at Coors. That's 15 of his hits for the season in a week. The other 33 games, he's only got 17 hits. And you referenced velocity. And I ran this yesterday, just checked on it again today. 2 years ago, against fastballs 94 miles an hour or faster, he had 323. This year, 179.
That's telling. That's a slow bat, and usually he gets off to a good start. He did get off to a good start this year. So what do you attribute it to?
I can tell you what the Phillies people say. He's streaky. He's always been streaky. In fact, Matt Gilbert, a great piece in The Athletic today, detailing all his streaks through the years.
Yeah, I've got it right in front of me.
Common?
What's that?
He always came out of every one of them.
Uh-huh.
Right now, coaches, front office, they're definitely clinging to that. But here to me is the difference. He's never swung and missed like this. It's true that he's walking, but he's also leading the league in strikeouts. Last National League player to lead the league in strikeouts and walks in the same year was Dale Murphy 34 years ago. Before that was Mike Schmidt. Before that, you have to go back 80 years. And so at a certain point, Bryce needs to get out of this rut he's in and just zone in on certain pitches, swing at those pitches, hit those pitches. Right now, he's putting tremendous pressure on himself, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, and you can tell it's weighing on him, and his expression tells the tale. But the story you're talking about, and I'm looking at last year, got off to a slow start as well. He hit 237 and through the first 41 games, but his on-base percentage was over 400, and his slugging was 533. He had only 27 strikeouts this year.
Look at the strikeouts.
Yeah, they 56 compared to 27 last year when he was struggling at 237. And he battled his way to get to 260 or whatever it was. This year, 219, looks like a different battle. So this is why people are a little bit worried about this.
I think everybody, though they haven't really said it a lot, agrees that this is as much upstairs as downstairs. Right? This is in his head. It's hard to be this guy, this $330 million franchise-changing figure who everybody stops what they're doing every time he comes to the plate and checks in. And, he clearly wants to have success, make a difference, have an impact, stop people from booing, all of that. But, watch him. Baseball is not one of those sports where you can force it to happen. You really have to let it happen. And right now, he is not letting it happen.
Yeah, now good players never want to take a day off because they feel they're going to bounce back and they need more at-bats. And he says himself, I'm not sure a day off is going to work for me mentally or physically. But the Kapler goes, well, I think he's pressing just a little bit and he's putting too much pressure on himself to perform. If that's the case, that smells to me day off. But he's back in the lineup tonight. Is the manager too intimidated to take him out of the lineup for a night?
I mean, on the one hand, Price plays. He's always played. You take away when he slips on first base 2 years ago and, you know, twists his knee. I think that's what it was, right? He's averaged 153 games a year since 2015, so he wants to play. Whether he plays should not be his decision. And it's just interesting to me how Gabe has done this 180 from last year. Everybody needs to play. Everybody needs a rest.
Yeah. Right?
There is devotion this year to this everyday lineup. I talked to a lot of other teams that have done massive studies on this and haven't just studied baseball players, studied other sports, studied the NBA. And the NBA is full now of stars taking scheduled days off. Why is that? They've come to the conclusion less is more. And many teams in this sport have come to that conclusion that less is more. It puzzles me that the Phillies don't seem to be there, and particularly with this guy.
Yeah, well, he's clearly calling the shots. Otherwise, you know, the manager said, I think he's just pressing a little bit. Everybody else would get a day off in that, but he's back in the lineup tonight. They've got two subs in the lineup. Neither one of them is for Harper, which I find interesting. I think McCutchen needs a day off as well. So let's move to the pitching staff. And, Cole Irvin had a decent debut. It's amazing how much he looks to me like Tom Glavin. I mean, it's just uncanny. Yeah. His delivery is the same thing. So, like, what does this do for Velasquez? I know he's got to perform a little more to cement a job. But where is the pitching staff right now? Eflin obviously is okay. Eichhoff, bad outing last night. Vinny Velasquez has had bad outings. Does he come back as a relief pitcher? What's the deal? What are they going to do there?
I would say, if you listen to Gabe Kapler, it's very clear that he is not committing to Vince Velasquez rejoining the rotation, right? He's had several opportunities to say that's what's going to happen. He has not said that. And, I mean, they like Cole Irvin. You know, Cole Irvin is Glavin-like. He's got a little Dallas Keuchel in him. That's fine. You know, he's very efficient. Mm-hmm. He goes seven innings in his first start in the big leagues. Vince Velasquez has gone seven innings once in his last 40 starts in the big leagues. And, you know, if you prefer the volume to the stuff and the short bursts of swings and misses and radar gun and, you know, look how good this guy can look any given moment, there are a lot of advantages to Cole Irvin being in the rotation. And another one is, he's left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They've only had four wins from left-handed starters in the last four seasons. There's value in that, in having a left-hander whose style is a little different from the other guys. I don't know. I've heard all the arguments for why Vince should be a starter. At a certain point, don't you have to take a step back and say, we've seen it. This is what he is. Let's try something else.
Yeah, no, I hear you. One more Bryce stat I'm going to give you, because you got the 94-mile-an-hour stat, which is probably more pertinent than this one, because not everybody throws 97-plus. But against 97-plus this year, he's seen 68 pitches. He's had 36 swings, 16 whiffs, and 16 foul balls.
Yeah.
He's only put four balls in play.
Right.
Good hitters will hit 97-plus, and he's late. And so you need to step away when that's happening.
He's hit velocity. 2 years ago, I mean, he was on his way to another MVP before he slipped on first base. He slugged 650 against all fastballs 2 years ago, and this year he's slugging 382.
Yep, not tracking it, and it's late.
He made up his mind to swing.
He absolutely did, and you never see a good hitter do that. So he's all scrambled, and when you're all scrambled, it doesn't help to, like, you're going to continue to churn to get hits instead of just stepping away and breathing. So we'll see.
I was in Clearwater that day that he came in and did that simulated game this spring, and I remember you had me on, and I was telling you about how you were there, actually. That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
We were standing there watching it together, yep. And the way he tracked pitches.
Yes.
In that, just that little simulated exercise, that's what he is when he's at his best. not what you saw last.
Yeah, he trained. He was training his eyes, and so to me, you're not going to train. You're training your eyes if you're yearning to get a hit. You're squeezing the bat handle. You got to step away and train your eyes again. So
yeah, but there's like 2015 and the beginning of 2017. He was almost Barry Bonds-esque because he didn't chase, and the league was scared of him, and he didn't see a lot of strikes. Look at the percentage of pitches he sees in the strike zone now. You're just not seeing that fear of challenging him in the strike zone. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that approach. And so you can say he's streaky, whatever. He's being pitched differently because the league is seeing him different.
Yep. Jason, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you.
Great to talk to you, Mike.
There he is, Jason Stark, and he is brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.